Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We only have 100 questions on the U.S. citizenship test, and it is time for the next five questions on the U.S. citizenship test. We only have 10 questions left.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Only 10 questions left, and of course, we have been deeply humiliated, realizing that maybe we have been critical of others coming to our country who actually could pass the test, that know about our country, and we are learning we also learned about the brain, too, in this whole journey that, you know, once you're a certain age, you've learned everything you can learn unless you get rid of some stuff. And we just happen to get rid of the Constitution in our brain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in our history, it's like, oh, my goodness.
And so a lot of politicians have lost it, too.
Yeah, really. We got to relearn things again. And so we're on question 91 of 100 questions. This is very exciting. We're coming to the end. Of course, I'm going to ask you the question and give you a chance to think. And when you're thinking, you're going to hear this. That's exactly right. You take all the time you want until the music stops. And then you got to give an answer. And with that, that'll be your final answer. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you get it right, of course, everybody's going to applaud you. But if you get it wrong, so here it is. Question number one on the U.S. citizenship test. The test today.
Come on, say it with us. Citizenship.
Citizenship test. You know, speaking of that, this GPS systems, you know, and all that kind of stuff, it does tongue tire. I mean, we're like Sally sells seashells by the seashore. It was like some sort of towns and stuff we're driving through, and it was like, that was beautiful. It just literally dictated perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, dang, that was good. I couldn't do that. Anyway, back on the record here. Question number one for the U.S. citizenship test today is going to Pat. Here's the question. Question one is, of course, this is close. You got to really catch this up. You may have to self-deport. You may have to self-deport to, what's it, Kyrgyzstan. Kyrgyzstan.
Siberia.
Name one.
That's easy.
He's already thinking like one. Name one U.S. territory. Today's question, name one U.S. territory. Awesome. Here we go. Today's question is, for first one's for Pat, 1 out of 5, is name one territory, name one U.S. territory. All right, Pat.
All right. How about Puerto Rico?
Hey, bravissimo. Bravissimo. Just out of curiosity, John, just out of curiosity, because this is not going to you're not going to have to self-deport because this question has already been dealt with. Name one more, and there's several, U.S. territories.
I'm going to go, Alex, for 5,000 with Guam.
Hey!
Yeah. Impressive.
Back to you, Pat. There's a whole bunch more.
I'm out of space.
You're out of space.
There's nothing left. I'm maxed out.
Wow. Well, I was wondering if you got John's one territory they knew about. But you know, Guam. But
he thought I was one dimensional. See,
Guam. That's a huge dimension.
That's huge.
Well,
huge.
It's Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands. Well, let me read the question again so those that are listening. Name one U.S. territory, and these are U.S. territories you could have picked from. Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Northern Mariana. I knew that was a territory islands, and Guam. Question number next. Going to you, John, on the U.S. citizenship. U.S.
citizen. It's almost like getting a mill.
What?
It's almost like getting a mill.
What? A mill?
A mill. Instead of a meal, he says a mill.
That's a learning thing, I guess.
That was like definitely a rabbit trail. Okay, we're back to the test. Question number next. John, question number next on the U.S. citizenship test for you is, name one state that borders Canada. Name one state that borders Canada. All right, John. Question you from the U.S. citizenship test. So you don't have to go to Kyrgyzstan or Siberia. Name one. It doesn't look like the GOP is going to get it anyway. So don't anybody's worried about something for that GOP stuff. Like they're like, oh my goodness. Anyway, listen. Name one state that borders Canada.
Well, I'm going to go with the state of New York.
Hey, oh my goodness. That's so good. That's very good. Very good. Pat.
I actually went to Canada.
Yes. Name a state that borders Canada.
How about Washington?
Hey! Oh my goodness, that's very good. John, name a state that borders Canada.
I'm going to say... Oregon.
Okay, so we'll see how far we go. That's it.
How about Maine?
All right. He jumped in there. Now for the territories, you got it was silent.
Oh, now he's spitting them out now. All right. He's educated.
Okay, go ahead. Pat, we'll just go back to you again.
I just gave you one.
You want another one? John, you want to shoot for another one? Let me name one for you. Here is all the states that border Canada, because the question is on the U.S. citizenship test. To be a citizen of America, you've got to take this test and pass it. Name one state that borders Canada. Well, this is some of the ones you could have named. Maine, New Hampshire. You don't think of that, do you? But really, it's New Hampshire. Vermont, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and of course, Alaska.
How about that?
I didn't realize there were that many. I didn't realize they were touching us. They're touching us up there.
Here we go. Good thing they're friendly.
What's that?
Good thing they're friendly.
Yes, very friendly. Pat, question number next on the U.S. citizenship test is name one state that borders. He's like, is there other borders? Name one state that borders Mexico. All right, Pat. The question for you on the U.S. citizenship test is, name one state that borders Mexico.
How about Texas?
Hey, John, name one state that other than Texas. Arizona. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Good. Good. Pat. Name one state other than the two that have been named that borders Mexico.
California.
Hey. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
John. Name the last state that borders Mexico.
Nevada. No?
There aren't any more. I was just seeing. There aren't any more.
Bust.
Well, John, question number next from the U.S. citizenship test is question 94 on the test, as a matter of fact. What is the capital What is the capital of the United States? John, the question for you is from the U.S. citizenship test is, what is the capital of the United States?
I'm going to go with Washington, D.C.
Hey, oh my goodness. I was really concerned about that one. I didn't know if you were going to get that. And of course, some people say, oh, that's easy. But yeah, you understand, if you're coming from another country and you're taking this test, you don't know that yet. So you're going to need to know what the where the capital is. Not that it's really significant or does anything important, you know, right. But you need to know, you need to really know where it's at, you know, just in case you want to go see some statues and stuff. Pat, question number next from the U.S. citizenship test is, where is the Statue of Liberty? Where is the Statue of Liberty?
Yes.
Get it right, Pat. Get it right.
All of our New York listeners are going like, great.
Oh, no.
Pat, where
is... What did you just say?
Where is the Statue of Liberty?
That would be in New York.
What are you talking about? It's Ellis Island.
Incorrect.
It's in the state, isn't it?
It's in Ellis Island.
Come
it's
on.
In New Jersey.
That's right. Get it really out. Is, isn't it? It is in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought about Manhattan. I thought that was in New York.
Well, it is. It's, that is in New York, but.
No.
It's, well, it's I'm mistaken.
It's in the water.
It's
no.
On the Jersey side.
Yeah. But the test says, the answer to the question, you want to know that
what
it is?
Well, no,
what is the Statue of Liberty? Where is the Statue of Liberty? It's in the New York Harbor. The New York Harbor.
Well, I have it right.
Or Liberty Island. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, you can see it from New York. You can see it from New York. But it is. It's actually on Ellis Island out there. Oh, not Ellis Island. It's Ellis Island.
Yes, yeah, Liberty Ellis Island. Island.
It is Ellis? Yeah. Okay. Question number last, that John.
That was last one.
Was
that
the last one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. We have completed the test. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret so shameful that you've never spoken of it? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Julie Barnhill offering a suggestion to help find healing.
The first thing you have to do is you have to own it. And I tell women this all the time. I believe there's something powerful about speaking what is your secret, speaking that is so shameful. And I will encourage women, especially when we have workshops, and I'll say, I want you at some point today, whether it's you go to a wall and you cup your mouth and you just whisper it just so you can hear it, that you say that awful, ugly thing.
Speaking a shameful secret out loud, even to yourself, may help reduce its power over you and can bring some much-needed relief. Now, if you need help with a painful issue, consider our counseling hotline at 1-800, the letter A, and the word family.
God is putting together today, establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce does, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely His, so that He may strongly support them. And when He does find what He's looking for, He's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy, but I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model, but it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with Him and His name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man. Yeah, isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have His power. I expressed His radiant nature. Wow, that blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the apostolic resource centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because He's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay. And they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I don't know if you know this or not. I got to tell you about this. You know, when I was in law enforcement, what happens with sheriffs, you know, you have new bosses all the time. You know, your sheriff, your boss may be there because he or she's an elected official, mm-hmm. selected by the community who they want to be their sheriff. He's mm-hmm. a constitutional officer. And so you work for this particular sheriff that deputizes you. And I was asked when I was a deputy, I said, you know, would you support so-and-so or something? And I supported, you know, a particular candidate who didn't win. And I liked them all. I mean, they were all good people, but, you know, you're an American. You can, I guess, support whoever you want to. Mm-hmm. But seeing that I didn't win, I got motivated. I got therapy afterwards, and they assigned me. They gave me a new assignment.
Oh.
They wanted to reward me because I didn't support the right one, I guess. And they rewarded me by sending me to a school resource officer's position called ESEAL. It's called ESEAL, E-S-E-A-L. And they wanted me to be a school resource officer there. I thought, well, wow. That's not, I thought it would be worse than that. It's not right. Bad. And then I found out what it stood for. It stood for the Expanded Special Education Agricultural Laboratory. It was a laboratory for children.
Laboratory.
It was a laboratory for children who have come to the very end of the whole school system. And they were trying to hold on to them to the last little bit to have teachers who would work with them and, give them the last chance of hope. I personally believe there's some of that where they were really trying to hold on to funding as much as they were at the kid, you know, but the system ties our hands. They don't let us do a lot of stuff. My empathy goes out for teachers for that. And so here I'm a police officer on this expanded special agricultural laboratory, education agricultural laboratory. And it's like this whole sod farm type thing with plants and everything. And, great teachers out there, you know, and just, it was real neat, real good environment really for guys to learn. Cause it was a touchy feely type thing. And I said, man, I just know what these guys need. These girls and guys, they just need, you know, somebody to love on them. They just need a father's touch. They just need somebody to bless them and to speak into their life. And, you know, I committed, man.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to go out there and I am not going to write any of these kids up. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to be patient and I'm going to have this empathy thing going on. I'm totally going to, you know, I understand their plight. I understand where they're coming from, you know, and I was not going to write anybody up like the teachers do. Right.
Right.
And so, it was my first week there. And, one of the kids, you know, made a machine gun out of rubber bands. It's some sort of device that would shoot like 100 rubber bands at one time to one person, which the user of the gun didn't mind it, but it was the recipient of the rubber bands who minded it.
Right.
And so I bring him into my office, you know, and he has it in this grocery bag. And, you know, I'm talking to him. I said, well, you know, you didn't hand me the gun. No. I'm like, well, you need to hand me the gun. And he said, no. It's like, don't you understand my theory? I'm going to take the thing, and we're going to talk, and it's all going to be Pizza King and better, right? And I fought 3 or 4 times, and he was just dogmatic. No!
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I snatched the thing out of his hand, threw it on my desk, and I was cranking out my first week. I was writing him up. He made a machine gun! And so then I said, you know, I'm going to meet with your mother. I'm going to meet with your mother because you didn't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to meet with your mother, and we're going to have a talk. We're going to have a talk, you know? And so then I touch base with his mother, and I'm talking to his mother. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this kid's doing good. He was more functional than his mother. She was on the streets all that week in drugs and everything else. There was nobody in the household. He showed up at school. That was huge.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, and my whole perspective just flipped and realized he's the leader. He's having to make these decisions himself.
Mm.
And so I looked at him, you know, after all that, and I just looked at him and said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. That's all. Over and again, I said, I'm sorry because I didn't. I was trying to figure out, this is bad, you know, and this is the state of our present society. This is what's happening over and over again. You know, 70% of African American children are born out of in a fatherless home.
Mm-hmm.
50% of marriages end in divorce, and primarily that means the father is going to be out of their life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's 25, probably now about 30 million, but we know 25 million fatherless children in America. That 46%, I believe this is, you can verify these stats on the VFN TV blog. But 46% of fathers see their children once or twice during the first 2 years and then never again.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why is, quite often, statistics say, it's because the mother of the child makes it financially and geographically impossible for him to do that because she wants to him out of their life now. Right. And so she just creates this whole financial turmoil. Not all cases, but that's what I'm just telling you what the statistics said.
Right.
And we worked with these guys for a long time. And so, man, I really thought that, you know, if you just patiently talk to these kids and you just, you know, work with them and that, you know, things were going to turn around. And of course, in a school environment, it's really tough to be able to do anything, you know, effectively. But you can do things, but they tie your hands so much. And so, but I did love on them, you know. We continued to move on and had a good relationship. But then I remember one of the kids, out of all the kids there, I see him down the road. Mm-hmm. And I'm ministering somewhere, and he comes running to me. And he's just, you know, happy. Oh, and he's going, you know, you got me. I got, you know, he helped him get jobs. I was helping him get jobs and mm-hmm. trying to function in society back then. And I got him the Hooked on Phonics program and got the Fraternal Order of Police, purchased that for them out there and just did some things. And no matter where they sent me, God always blessed me.
Yeah, no.
It's like, what is he getting press out there for? And he comes running to me and tells me about his wife and his children and how thankful he was that I helped him, you know, get that job and now that he was serving the Lord. And I thought, oh, my goodness, it's so worth it. It is so worth it, you know. But, you know, that's when God began to really sow in my heart that this is a fatherless nation. This is a fatherless nation, you know. We're sitting on Glenn Beck's show. You know, John and I were sitting on one of his last week up in New York, and he's asking all these college students. He's setting them up. They didn't know Glenn. He was setting them up. You're answering these questions. He's gonna put drop down on you. And he's talking to him. He said, "Why are you spending $100,000 in education for a job you don't even know exists? You know, for a chance you wouldn't buy a house that you haven't seen yet for $100,000. Mm-hmm. Just take my word for it. You want to go see the house, and you need to actually find what you're going to be doing and then educate towards that. And so." And then he's saying, why would you do that? And I'm raising my hand, man. I'm like, oh, here I am, man. I got your answer. And John starts pulling on my shirt. Dude, they're going to throw us out. They're going to throw us out. Because only like three rows of people and stuff, right. You know. And had all these young college kids, these two old men in the back, you know. They could probably see me better than they, you know. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham just reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes, I would study more.
I would pray more, travel less, take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God, the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so this is what I was going to say. Now I can say it. The reason why they're paying $100,000 for their education, and the reason why the parents are willing to pay $100,000 for education, is because neither one of them want the father-son relationship. They're not willing. They'd rather pay for what you can only really truly get through a spiritual parent or a parent-child relationship that's rightly functioning. And they'd rather pay $100,000 than to deal with that kid. And the kid rather pay $100,000 rather than deal with that parent. And the enemy so destroyed that. And so now you got 4 years, 6 years of debt. Wouldn't it have been better to find somebody that God put in your life that could father you and mother you and give you that you needed instead of having to pay all that money? And you can't get relationship from a college. You can't get function. You can't get integrity. You can't get character from a college. You can get knowledge. And as we say often, you know, knowledge without wisdom, the only person who doesn't know that is the person who has no wisdom but lots of knowledge, but everybody else knows it. And so I didn't get a chance to make that. But the thing is, that's the reason why. Because it takes a huge investment for a parent to walk that out with that kid. Even a spiritual parent with a spiritual son or daughter, and the same thing with a natural parent and a natural child. And both of them have to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to forego all of God's order and try to get it some other twisted way. And you just can't get it. Look what's happened in America. You can't skip God's order. God's got an order. His order is father-son order. It's been since the beginning of time, and it still is today. And part of repentance of the church is us getting back into God's order. When you think about it, it was the Father who sent his son Jesus, who did everything that he learned and heard of the Father. He imitated the Father. You know, Paul talks about it. He says, you know, you have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers, for I'm your Father in Christ Jesus. Imitate me. You know, and so Paul was living a life that he was willing to tell those in the church that he was a spiritual father to, you know, a father in the Lord, if you would. And he said, just imitate me. People are like, I don't want nobody imitating me. Well, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that, that you need to live a life. Doesn't mean everybody will. But that's part of the repentance that we have to go. And that plight of that young man in that school, you know, and a lot of young men and women today, and now older men and women today, is the fact that they don't have a father in their life. And, you know, just, I mean, everybody's got a father. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you got here.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was in a lab, there was a father somewhere in there. Even if your mother doesn't even bring him up, there was a father in your life. And but there's at least a male contributor. And understand that, but that God is a father to the fatherless, and that he says before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. We know personally, I'm fully convinced that this earth is about to shake, but I know, I really am fully convinced that if we respond to the first part of that word, we turn our hearts, then it won't happen,
right?
At least to the extent that it could happen. And so if you want to find out more about that, you can find out more about that at the VFN TV as a VFN TV subscriber, or actually it's not even what, it's just totally out there for everybody. It's called the Elijah Storm. You're talking about, you know, end times and what's taking place. But yeah, I totally knew that I was not going to write anybody up. And it was the first week, Pat. The first week I wrote him up, and you know, by the time that we all finish, I'm ripping that puppy up thinking, whoa, my goodness, I'm just proud that you're here, you know, that you caught the bus, that you halfway put your clothes on. You know, they're not that good at it all the time. And but I was totally amazing. It's called the Expanded Special Agricultural Laboratory. And it's closed down today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, there's nothing like having a light, knowing where you're going in the dark place. And we're told that darkness covers the earth, thick darkness covers the folks, covers the people. But Jesus, the light of the world, he came to give us light. That's what's so awesome. And it says, you know what? Not only did he come to give us light, but he came to be the light, but he came to give us that light, which is the life of men. And then he gave us the word which is the light. He is the word, and the word became flesh. As a matter of fact, if you have not yet, catch this moment at the VFN Dream Center. Listen how important it is to be in the light.
If you just get enough light and word to get saved, and find out where you are in Christ, but you spend no time walking out the Word, it's not going to end well for you. There's going to be a lot of people who went that way, and they're going to encourage you on that wide way, and they're going to tell you you're totally fine. As a matter of fact, George Barna says in Barna Group, he does a statistical survey of the church, and he says 81% of regular church attenders who say they go to church, according to George Barna, don't even read the light. They don't even read the Word. What does that automatically mean? They're in what? Darkness. And so you have a dark, spiritually speaking, people looking at a dark leadership, 530 people in Washington, D.C., and they're thinking that my darkness is going to change their darkness. It's like, that's foolishness. That's a riot. Yes, it's gross darkness. And not only does he say that 81% of the people who call themselves Christians are not reading the Word, he says that 19% out of the 19% that are reading the Word, only 3% of them actually use it as light to get around. They actually read it and apply it to their life. In other words, they look at the map, they find out where they are, and they change their direction based on the map, on the Word of God. Which means what? 97% of the people who call themselves Christians, according to George Bonner, are where? In the darkness. That's why 97% are not given to God in his tithes and offerings, because they're in darkness. They don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But what's so crazy is because they're not reading, they're going to Washington, D.C. and marching out there and complaining about them taxing them too much money on their taxes and doing this and doing that. And it's like, okay, you're saying that you're paying too much taxes while you're robbing from God. It's like, you need to get in the Word. It's not going to be good. Satan's going to eat your lunch. You're going there telling people how to be married and how not to be married. And look at yourself. If you read the Word, you find out your marriage is in shambles. Your children are just trying to survive your darkness. Come on. We wouldn't get in a fight. We're going to lose that fight. I'm just saying. 97% in darkness. Well, you could say, well, that's just terrible. You say, oh, I just need to be the light then. Jesus came as one and became many. Then we can become one in Him, and we can what? Become many. People just don't. The enemy has underestimated you and the power of your wattage when you decide to live a godly life before God. You walk in the workplace and the place goes, and demons are like, oh, she's here, he's here. Because they know you're the light when you walk in. They're like, whoa, Susie's here. They go like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that around you. You're like, how in the world would you even be bothered with that? What you did to me was worse than what you just said to me. Anyway, because they see the light, they know.
It's so important. If you want to get a chance to join the dream, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can even join us physically or you can join us virtually. It's vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
And so, but man, you're not going to believe this.
What?
You're not going to believe this. I am trying to do what's right again.
Oh, my.
And it's a lot harder than you really think it is.
I've got personal experience.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I know lettuce don't work.
No,
it's amazing how hard, you know, it really is. And it's like the older you get, I mean, you can eat air and gain weight.
Mm.
You know, you can eat air. You can eat air. It was just somebody floating through the room right here. It's amazing. It's like, what happened? There was a day that I remember. There was a day in our past that Donna and I would go to a restaurant as a typical, you know, American. Used to be. We're not typical Americans, obviously, anymore. And they have things called appetizers for a meal.
They have a meal.
And then after a meal, they have like your breads and salads and they have desserts afterwards. And, you know, being from the Emerald Coast, southern parts of America, this is not like dining in New York where they give you an ounce of something, you know.
I know it.
And we would eat. I remember we would eat the appetizer and all those whole courses of meals. And we'd walk out and we would lose 5 pounds in the process. 5 pounds.
Really?
Wow.
Oh,
how'd you do that?
Oh, Thomas.
I didn't believe you. I just want to know how you did. What's your secret?
Are you ever going to take care of that? Is it just going to keep coming up again and again and again? And again?
Apparently.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just talking to the producer. But it's not that way anymore. It's just not that way anymore. And besides, too, we did not really enjoy food as much back then as we do now. We maybe left some, I guess. Maybe that's what happened. But as you get older, I mean, food just really is amazingly good. I cannot believe that I used to eat bland food. All these flavors and wonderful things. And now, you know, you just, you know, drink a cup of air. And you got to just avoid the scales. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what happened? I don't even want to. I just want to, you know. And here I've been, you know, okay, I'm going to do this thing again. I got my friend Guns out of South Carolina. And he's committed this thing's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening this morning, I'm telling you. And I'm eating, drinking these, you know, shake mix that tastes like cake mix stuff. It's probably cake mix. And it's good. It gives you energy. Does a lot better than other things. And then I have this cookie that you eat, and the cookie kind of carries you in between the meals, and it's like a peanut butter protein. It's definitely healthy. And, you know, if nothing has changed, my health has changed.
That's the plus.
I look like the same canvas that you've seen before, but I'm a healthy canvas.
There you go.
And so I put, just to make sure that I don't grab something I shouldn't grab in the kitchen, I put my box of cookies, you know, bland box of cookies, you know, on a totally clean counter. That's all it is. So you pass by and I go, oh, yeah, I'm doing what guns promised me would happen if I stay on this thing. No, I'm holding you to it, guns. And he's in Savannah, by the way. Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to everybody in Savannah today. And I mean it. And I go in there last night, or the night before last, and I'm going to go, I just happened to glance. And the thing about, you know, this thing that I'm on, it satisfies you. So you're not like suffering, hungry for everything. You're not craving anything. Mm. But you're familiar how it used to taste. So you anyway. And so I go in there and I look at my plan, looking box, look at a box of envelopes. Box that comes in. They should decorate it, you know, make it look a little bit more, you know, exciting. But anyway. And I happen to look around it. And you are not gonna believe. You are so not gonna believe. It was saturated. Every square inch of counter was saturated with every form of cookie that you could imagine. I mean, there was chocolate covered cookies. There was vanilla chocolate covered cookies. You know, there was vanilla cookies. There was chocolate chip cookies. I'm thinking, what's going on? What in the world happened? And I'm thinking, this is demonic. I mean, I am totally, look at this. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that something?
Oh, wow.
I'm like, my goodness. The enemy's trying to take me down. He is trying to take me down. I mean, look at this thing, man.
Oh, my goodness. I like those Vienna cookies like that. I like that. Is that part of the package?
You always were a vanilla person. Right? No mayonnaise.
You don't like white stuff.
No white stuff. But creamy stuff.
Anyways. And so I thought, you know, I've been on this thing for a week and a half. Mm-hmm. Granted, I did go to Marianne and eat some great food for, I remember I went to the biscuit place. Oh. And then I went to the dinner place. And then I went to the Po' Folks place.
Oh, no.
But it was just, you know, just a weekend.
Just a weekend.
And, you know, the Amish. I mean, the Amish, come on, right? The Amish, I mean, think about it. And so I had this bland piece of chicken. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal. And I thought, well, I'll just put a little Amish salad on the side of it. Amish macaroni salad. Uh-huh. I mean, the Amish. I mean, they could never. I mean, they don't even look like calories, right? I mean, and I realize probably the reason why they're so trim is because they're actually working the fields. But
right. Working hard.
Dude, Amish salad. I mean, because it's good. I was piling it up. A half a cup is 250 calories. A cup is nothing. A cup is like 8 ounces.
4 ounces.
Oh.
A cup is 8.
You said ounces. Half a cup.
Oh, yeah. Well, a cup.
I'm sorry. Yes, you were correct.
Well, I know you're sorry, but we're talking about the measurements.
Wow.
Measurements.
Do you see what I have to put up with? Do you see this?
I'm telling you,
okay.
Man.
Okay. I just want to make
Webster.
Sure.
He's like Webster over here.
Okay, verse.
Okay. Vess. The It's a tournament.
Tournament.
But listen. It is amazing. I mean, I thought I wasn't eating anything except for the fried chicken.
Right.
You know, except for
the healthy fried chicken.
I had chicken as a biscuit.
The healthy fried chicken.
I had chicken as a finger, a chicken as a biscuit. I had a chicken as a plate. And then I had Amish salad. And then I had chicken. And man, I didn't lose any weight. Of course, I'm still 180 pounds. Plus.
Right.
Right.
Plus.
I'm 7'1". But I was like, you know, I am so tired. I was like, this scale's broken, obviously. But it is much better than the doctor's scale. I was like,
Can you see the scale?
Americans are getting really, really big because I go to the doctor's scale. You know, they used to have this scale thing you stand on and kind of keep your balance, and then they'd slide these weights back and forth years ago, and now because they have digital scales. But now they have the scale.
Beep, beep, back it up.
It's like a room. It's not even a, it's just like a room, right?
Right. The whole floor is
got,
the scale.
It's got handrails. It's got handrails on the sides of it. Really? It's got handrails on the side of this thing. And I'm thinking, like, this is not going to be good. And so, you know, you lose me on there because it's so big. No,
it's a floating bed.
Yeah.
The kind you pull your truck up on when they're weighing you.
I don't, yeah. You know, you
the
can
kind
weigh,
you put the dog, big dog in.
Yeah. See if your truck's legal for the interstate. The, and so you're getting on there. I'm thinking, well, the reason why this thing's going to be high is because the scale must weigh 2 tons.
Right.
And it's like, where did that number come from? You know, you just turn away like shame. I don't know where that thing comes from. It's my keys. I carry about 10 pounds of keys. But it's just like, what's up with this? The older you get, my metabolism is moving at a rate of like 1/10 of a mile an hour. Mm. I mean, it is, it is. I mean, you look at him.
I know.
Of course, Jordan told me he works his off on the treadmill. It's like every morning, boom, 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 boom.
That's, is that the secret? Is that the secret?
The whole house is shaking. He's on the treadmill. Boom, 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 boom.
Just waking up the whole house, the whole neighborhood.
Right, 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 right. He puts a Twinkie in front of him. He's like, runs after him. Boom, 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 boom. But I'm just thinking, like, my goodness. Here I am eating Gunza's cookies and shakes.
Gunza's. Is that his name?
Is that his name?
What is that? What are you talking about?
Gunza's. He's from Chile.
Guns.
Okay.
My, I tell you, I feel like the disciples are right here. I don't believe nothing. Anyway. Anyway, Shane. The
eating
it,
healthy.
It didn't change.
It didn't change.
It didn't change. And I can imagine. I mean, I think if by the time that I'm 40.
Plus time, or minus.
Right.
By the time I'm 40, I'll probably just be able to look at a bag of cookies and gain 5 pounds.
Dude, it's serious. It is serious.
I mean, it really is if you're not as tall as me.
Oh, hey. Serious problem.
You got to really pay close
attention.
Listen,
it goes sideways, man. You're in trouble, man. You're in trouble.
Do you remember we used to work together? You had a waist of like 16 or something. And you ate pizza.
Every day. All day.
Every day. He had like a waist of 16.
I don't know what happened.
A height of 28.
I got married.
I know. Man, I gained 15 pounds on the first 3 weeks after I got married.
Oh, that was a long time. That was a long time.
And it hasn't stopped growing.
You know, I'm sure, you know, that... You know, Jesus ate everywhere he went. He was eating with everybody. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to follow
the steps. Yes.
Let's put before you. And I try to get as many things put before me as possible because I want to be able to move in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to move in the spirit. But I just want to encourage you today that, you know, hold fast. Sometimes you just got to celebrate it didn't change. Because the numbers can go two ways.
This is true.
And just pray that we'll go back to an agricultural society and we'll be back again, you know, plowing up the back 40, pulling behind the mule, and we won't have any problem at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there a virtual way to do that?
Yeah, you know, when you think like that, you go, you know, I don't mind carrying this weight. I can carry this weight. Nothing like what Pat's teaching us.
I know.
Blousing.
Yes.
It's very effective.
It really is. He's like an artist, man.
He's an artist. He's been practicing for years.
For years. You don't have to blouse anymore, you know. It's kind of like, it's just like the blouse.
I do anyway.
He's just addicted to blousing.
That's
we didn't call it blousing to his mother called it blousing.
Yeah,
he blouses his shirt. It's like the paradigm shift.
Of all things.
You know, a Saints fan blouses his jersey. It just was an interesting thing.
It just doesn't
fit,
does it? I mean, just maybe we can have a... Because people may not know what that is. We have a picture on the torch for that.
Blousing,
Pat. You can.
We
got to
have
us.
An older blousing picture because now it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
His waist is like about 12.
Jordan, I know you're listening. Can you just help us out?
Right. They're all coming in from everywhere.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Great.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I do want to say to you this morning, you know, as you're listening, to be encouraged. And that's our goal. Our goal is to encourage you in the Lord, to encourage the saints, and to remind you of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his willingness not only to forgive you, but to forget and to restore the years the locust had devoured, that his plans are good for you, that he has a construction site going on in heaven called your mansion, you know, and of course the song says just over the hillside, you know, and that's pretty cool. But if you're down the flatlands like we are in the Gulf Coast, it's just kind of a straight shot. They have a place called Cottage Hill. It's kind of hard to know you're on it. If you pull out your level and put it on the ground, I think it's got like a little bump thing going on. Listen, God's got good plans in store for you. You know, Satan is a liar and he's a father of lies. And there's many people that like to use his, surrender their tongue over to him, like James chapter 3 says, and their tongues are set on fire by hell. And they like to just kind of spread some things your way to cause you to forget that you win. You win, you win. You win through Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. You know, this is time that we have in our eternal life. It's already begun the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is time that we can actually do for him in a way that we can remember, oh, I'm so glad I did for him, as we enter into heaven. You know, you think about this. You think about this. You think about it. That, you know, there's a lot of people that look back and they go, man, I wish I would have. You know, mm-hmm. I wish I wouldn't have let fear hold me back.
All right.
Makes me think of Rick Joyner's prophetic book about, you know, the epic battles. Not epic battles, the last day, but the final quest, you know. And it just took like two or three demons of fear to hold back thousands of Christians.
Right.
You know, and of course, the one who's afraid the most is going to go, I am not scared. I just have these obligations right now. I'm not going to be able to.
I got bills.
I got bills. You know, it's like, you know, I always said, you know, when God was calling me into ministry, that when, you know, the disciples threw down their nets, you know, they saw Jesus. Jesus called them and said, come. And they threw down their nets, which was their business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed them, mm-hmm. you know, and they're in business with their father, you know, sons of Zebedee. And then that, you know, the father's probably like, where are you going, son? We're in business together. No, you didn't hear that. Right. But also the question I always had was, but did they owe money on their nets?
Right. I know.
Did they owe money on their nets? And there's so many people held captive because of debt. I mean, he tells us that we're slave to the lenders, you know, and so be very careful. I was seeing America right now. Was it like 45 cents on every dollar? And so, you know, free yourself up from all those things that hold you back from obeying God, because this is our one time. This is a one little time.
One shot.
Yeah, I mean, we could still be living as long as Methuselah. You know what I'm saying?
Thank goodness we don't.
I mean, look at us now with a few decades behind our belts. You know, it's like,
oh my gosh,
we'd be probably pathetic in about 800 years, right?
I know, I would be.
Of course, I won't go into all those details and stuff.
Yeah, right.
It's not time to talk about the Nephilim.
In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Oh my goodness. Aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more. In Cantonment, you don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.